You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Anika caught up with Nationals' Dr. Shane Retty for their regular segment. This week they discussed allied health workers' strike. And Anika began by asking him for the National Party's stance on this.
Sure. So just some brief background. The allied health workforce are a really diverse group of people. They're your physios, chiropractors, osteopaths, your audiology technicians, dental technicians, dietitians actually, and your lab techs as well, including the medical radiation technologists. So those are the people who set up your radiotherapy for cancer and organise those sorts of things. So a really important group in the healthcare system, but quite diverse, probably at least 30 to 35 careers and professionals in their own right. And what we're seeing here is them striking, saying, look, the pay conditions that the Employment Authority recommended have not been honoured, and pay equity is now 18 months down the track and just taking too long. Now, we need to put this in context, in as much as that I and we are not privy to those wage negotiations between government, DHBs and the sector. So I don't know the details of that either. But as they're reporting it, this is the issue they're grappling with, that the Employment Authority made recommendations which would seem to not be honoured by government, and then they have pay equity concerns on top of that. That's where that sits. Our position is really clear. We don't know those details, so we're unable to comment on the specifics without knowing them. But what we do know, and what our actions show, is that we value the health workforce. We value every single one of them, and we would make the case that of the $486 million in the last budget for health reforms, maybe that would be better spent on the health workforce.
So you do think that the government has the money to suitably compensate these health workers?
Oh, we think they could make other choices. $486 million, I've made the case before. For that, I could almost double the number of ICU beds in New Zealand and start building a third medical school. So there is money available. The government has made choices to use that money on health reforms. I would make the case that health workforce is valuable.
Now, do you think there's a problem with the distribution of financial compensation within the sector?
Well, without knowing the details, and again, when none of us are privy to what the Employment Relations Authority said, that's really hard to comment. All we can do is make that earnest observation that we support and we back them, but without knowing those details, that's very hard to comment to.
Do you think it's fair enough for these workers to be moving on to higher paid public sector jobs or even towards the private sector because of their unsuitable pay?
I think every workforce can legitimately raise the questions of pay equity, which they're raising. And in fact, in our hands in 2017, we did one of the first big pay equity deals, the Terra Nova situation, and we were able to work that through quite quickly. I remember sitting on the select committee under urgency, and once the call was made, within a matter of weeks, we were able to progress the legislative process. And so, you know, our track record of saying we understand pay equity. It's been interesting. I asked the minister, because nurses also have issues with pay equity at the moment, and I was asked him what the comparator was. That is, when you compare nurses and say, are they being paid for a equivalent role in another profession, I was interested to know what that comparator was. And it turns out with Terra Nova, the comparator was corrections. They said home care workers should be compared to corrections. And it was a bit uncertain what nurses were being compared to. Turns out they're being compared to management accountants and to detectives. I'm uncertain what the comparator is, or even if that's been figured out, for allied health and their pay equity. But I make the point that in our hands, 2017, we did what is probably the biggest pay equity deal to date. So we understand the principle that's on the table here.
So if we see a significant shift of these essential workers to the private sector and to higher paid jobs, how do you think the government can combat this?
Oh, so this is going to be a problem, which I've talked about. My concern coming towards us at the moment is aged residential care. That is a sector that I think is going to break really soon. A 5,000 workforce, 1,000 vacancies already, that's 20%. And the concern that they're expressing is when a pay equity for nurses eventually lands, their estimates are that there'll be a difference of between $22,000 to $30,000 for registered nurses in the aged residential care sector and the DHB sector. What do you think is going to happen? Of course there's going to be a migration from one to another, and that's going to be a real, real problem for aged residential care, and it's one sector that I'm particularly concerned about at the moment for exactly the reasons you're mentioning. You're alluding to maybe people could move from public to private. I'm suggesting that the opposite can occur from private to public, and the example I'm using is pay equity for DHB nurses.
With DHBs being set to be discontinued in July, will this fall into the hands of Health New Zealand?
Yes, that's right. DHBs are being disestablished, and the decision-making will sit with Health New Zealand. It'll be centralised to Health New Zealand.
Do you think this raises any issues?
It raises huge issues. It particularly raises the issue of that loss of local autonomy. We have to imagine that, amongst other things, DHBs have had elected people on their board as directors ever since they were constructed around about 2001 to convey that local voice, to guarantee that the local voice was heard. So at public body elections, the public at large voted in directors to their DHB. That completely goes. And I just fail to believe that a Wellington is better placed than local communities to determine what that community's health needs are. So very concerned about the centralisation theme and the removal of local autonomy towards a centralised Wellington. The Wellington knows best philosophy does not work.
But do you think Health New Zealand could potentially make it easier to make these more widespread decisions than going through the 20 different local DHBs?
I think there were opportunities with the Ministry of Health, who had that overview and set directions, and actually was tasked with holding each DHB to their annual plans to deliver centralised decision-making anyway. For example, national immunisation programs are centralised programs. They are determined not by each DHB, but determined by central government in Wellington. So there are some things, like our national immunisation programs, that should be centrally delivered, that could be successful. And I'm pleased, actually, to see a public health agency being consolidated and hopefully ramped up in a central form as well. But other than that, that loss of local autonomy and the loss of the local voice is likely to be substantial and really concerns me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.